The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's an afternoon of jumping with Ludlow, Market Raisin and Wincanton all hosting National Hunt fixtures. And then into the evening we have all-weather action on the Tapita surface at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, Mark. Yes, let's hope we get rid of this nasty weather that's hanging over us at the moment.
Yeah, it's a little bit drab, and unfortunately a few meetings going by the wayside. I think we've already lost Chepstow on Friday, as well as losing Newcastle on Wednesday. So hopefully the weather won't be too bad, and hopefully it will dry up a little bit at Ascot, because if it does, we might just see the return of Sprinter Sacker after 13 months off the racetrack.
I think you need a capital M for mate there, Mark.
Yeah.
I think it's the big question, and it's going to be the big talking point for the next 2 or 3 days, really, isn't it? Will he, won't he, is the big question turn up. And of course, I'm told, Rory's just mentioned that the Barry Geraghty was due to walk the course at Ascot today.
Right.
So we'll be keeping our ears peeled for some news breaking on how and what he thought conditions were like at Ascot, because, as we said, and we heard of an interview last night with Nicky Henderson, that he's now expressing some doubt whether his star two-mile chaser will run at the weekend.
Yeah. Well, Barry Geraghty has voiced his concerns about him having a tough race after such a long absence. Obviously, Nicky Henderson's in the same camp, and the idea is, I suppose, to leave it as late as possible before deciding. What that means is that he's drifting in the betting out to 11-8 now. Dodging Bullet 6-4, 92 for Summersby, Twin Light 5s and 25-1 are bigger prices for the other two. It's risky, isn't it? You can look at it and think, well, I get 11-8 if he runs, but the chances of him running are getting slimmer by the day, aren't they? So, and you've kind of missed the boat as well. If you thought, well, I'll back Dodging Bullets because he's definitely going to run, he's into 6-4 now. So
yeah,
it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, the value's gone in the market, and it's guessing, really. It's a guessing game now.
Yeah,
I'd prefer to wait, in all honesty, because I think Summersby could end up being the value in the race, Mark, in all honesty. If Sprinter Sacra doesn't take his chance at the weekend, then I think Summersby can turn around the Tingle Creek form with Dodge and Bullets. You look back at that race and come to the second last, as they was approaching the fence, Summersby was just in front, but he didn't jump well. He made a mistake at that fence, and he lost a lot of momentum, and that momentum that he did lose allowed Dodge and Bullets just to edge on to the front, and he was never going to be caught from then on in. It could have been an entirely different result had he jumped cleaner at the second last and maintained his momentum, you know, up the home straight. So Summersby, I certainly wouldn't rule out he could end up being the value in the race, but big question marks hanging over the favourite. I wouldn't like to say which way it's going to go, in
no.
all honesty. I would love to see Sprinter Sacra at Ascot, make no mistake about it. It's a difficult one to advise whether you should look to oppose him, where the value appears to be gone, or just wait and see what happens now. But I'm prepared to sit back and see whether he takes his chance or not. I mean, it could be that he's declared on Friday and they wait right up until a couple of hours before the race, which, you know, is going to leave us hanging all the longer.
Yeah, it is a tricky one. Hopefully we will see him, but well, the weather's not doing us any favours with regards to that. We've also got a great Dane prospect at Haydock on Saturday as well. Again, depending on the weather, because they've voiced a few concerns about the meeting going ahead. But there's the race involving the new one. If I just get the runners up in front of me, which is the 2:05 at Haydock on Saturday. It's a champion hurdle trial, and the new one is going to be very hard to see not winning this, isn't it?
Mark, I think William Hill, have we got prices at
we haven't yet.
No prices at the moment. But, you know, if I was asked to price this race up, you've got to be looking around about the 1-20 mark. He's so far ahead of some of these horses. You know, they're some way behind the level of the new one. He's officially rated 167. Bertimont of Dan Skelton's 149. Desert Cry, better known as a chaser. You know, he's probably coming here looking to pick up some prize money for second or third. Is a 149. Got the knack. As low as 122. Strong Point, who's a Musselburgh horse. He relishes that tight track. 143. Swaledale Lad, another better known as a chaser, has rated 125 over hurdles. And Trucking Along, who needs a strong pace to creep into his contest, is a 130 horse. So, you know, it's a formality. It's, you know, the new one jumps. It's another step along the way in the finishing touches, you would think, for his preparations for the champion hurdle.
Mm. Yeah, should be good to see him. Hopefully, well, I expect him to win that with no trouble. I mean, even Dan Skelton, who has Bertimont in the lineup, has said that he expects the new one to win, and he can't see Bertimont getting a surprise victory. I mean, he's rated second highest in the race behind the new one. He's £18 inferior to him on ratings and only receiving £8. Everything is in the new one's favour, isn't it, really?
It is. I mean, he handles Haydock, soft grounds, just everything's in his favour. And, you know, Bertimont 149. The only probably good thing is he's probably a little high for handicaps, and, you know, so there's no mark to try and preserve. So, you know, he's got to have a good go trying to beat the new one, really, in this race. So that's the only real positive to take from it. But I just don't see any other result than the new one being successful here.
Yeah. We could see two superstars on Saturday, then maybe not much of a price to follow on either of them by the time we get to the race. So we might not even see Sprint Osaka. But a good weekend to look forward to, plenty of good racing along the way. Anything else standing out to you in the news or towards this weekend, Craig?
The Peter Marsh is a race I like, Mark. It's due to be staged at Haydock. Hopefully that card gets a go ahead. It's a big staying handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Global Power, who missed an engagement at Warwick at the weekend, is due to race from £2 out the weights here if all the horses take the chance. You know, that wouldn't certainly put me off, because he still looks well handicapped off what would be a mark of 1-2-8, and he's one that stays particularly well with conditions in his favour. So he's one to keep an eye out for at the weekend. Hopefully he takes his chance. He's still got room for improvement in his jumping, but off a feather weight and grueling conditions, we know he stays all day. He's one to be interested in for that race at the weekend.
Yeah. The lower weights are going to be key this weekend with the type of ground we're going to encounter. So Global Power there then. Shall we move on? Shall we look on to Thursday's action? Craig's picked out 3 races for us at Market Raisin, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Thursday's action. We're going to look at 3 at Market Raisin. Hopefully we'll get some action there. And the first race that Craig picked out is a 145, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We have 8 of them in the lineup, so attractive from an each-way perspective, perhaps. But what do you like in here, Craig?
I like the bottom weight here, Mark. King of Strings for representing Mark Walford. It's a shame that, you know, we couldn't record this in another couple of hours, because the horse that won that Weatherby race, where he made his reappearance, was Special Wells.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that he was due to take his chance, but of course Newcastle's off, so he doesn't get the chance. I had it programmed in my head. It just threw me this well. It's got to me. So but you know, you look back at that race, he finished 4th and he shaped well for a long way, and it wasn't until after the last that he did tire on that occasion, and he dropped away. But it was a run full of promise. And you look back to his novice form from last year. He had a solid run at Musselburgh and Kelso, and I think he's gotten the handicaps quite leniently treated on a mark of 106. And if he's able to build on his return at Weatherby, he could be very difficult to beat. There should be a good pace on in the race, really, with the likes of Mr. Shantou in here and a few others that like to kick on. So a strong pace to aim at. I think King of Strings could go particularly well, and you know, he has won round Market Raisin in the past, so no doubts hanging over him with the track and going right-handed.
Yeah, and if you look back right at the end of last season as well, in April, he ran round Market Raisin off a mark of 108 in a handicap hurdle that was probably stronger than this one. He's a drop in class for him today, and he's £2 lower. So
yeah, definitely. You know, that was a quite strong race. Roman Flight, that finished second in that race, went on to win a couple of hurdle races. Seven Sky, who's better known as a chaser now, has won on a couple of occasions. And yeah, it was a strong heat, as you say, and you know, with the experience under his belt and hopefully stripping fit after his return, I think he'll be hard to beat, because there's a few horses here, the likes of Ray Yak, who, you know, doesn't always put it in a finish. Dormouse, who's probably best at Warwick these days. Fujian Dancer comes here off the back of a victory on the all-weather at Wolverhampton, but, you know, he still isn't all that well treated over hurdles on 119 and is vulnerable again in this race on Thursday. So I think it's an excellent opportunity for King of Strings to record his first victory in handicap company.
Okay, King of Strings then, the selection in the 145 at Market Raisin. The 215 is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 7 of them in the lineup here, and some in-form runners, the likes of Make Me a Fortune and Just Cameron, who has a penalty to defy for that win 9 days ago. Chicoria's not in bad nick either. Quite a good race, this, Craig.
It is a good race, Mark. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Chicory, for me, probably wants better ground. You know, he's been running really well. I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't appreciate the step up and trip, albeit it was only a furlong at Ludlow last time, because, you know, you look back to his Aintree victory and he looked all about stamina on that occasion over 2.5 miles. So it was slightly disappointing that he didn't take a huge step forward from Aintree at Ludlow last time. But I think the ground could well be against him, although it is drying out at Market Raisin, forecast to be good to soft. So keep an eye on the weather regarding Henry Daly's charge. I think the two horses to concentrate on really are Make Me a Fortune, who won very well here over course and distance, 2 furlongs shorter. It was 2.3 miles last time, but he was staying on powerfully at the end of that race. He's gone up £8 for the victory. Trevor Ryan again in the saddle, claiming 10. He should run his race, but I've got to be with Just Cameron to follow up that Sedgefield victory. He was a horse that went into the notebook at Carlisle earlier in the season, Mark. He's a real nice-looking horse. He was trained by Philip Kirby, of course, when finishing fourth. He almost got brought down at the first by Emerald Silk, who was also a winner last week at Catterick on that occasion. And the fact that he was able to jump the second last in front and the ground he made up on that occasion was unreal. He was off for longer than I would have liked before he reappeared at Haydock, but that is a race that's working out particularly well. Sleepy Haven, the winner, has won again since. Emerald Silk, who finished third, has won, and of course Josh Cameron himself won very, very easily at Sedgefield last week. And I liked the way they rode him last week. You know, I always thought he'd be a 2.4 miles, 2.5 miles horse. And when he was running at quite a sharp track like Sedgefield, they made the running on him. You know, they knew he stayed further, and that was the key to the horse. He got slightly outpaced at the top of the hill, but, you know, he quickly ran on and had the race wrapped up fairly easy. He comes here off a £7 penalty. I think he's going to be hard to beat, because I think he'll improve again stepping up to this kind of trip.
Okay, so Josh Cameron sounds like a pretty confident selection there, Craig.
Yeah, he's a horse I really like, Mark, and Mickey Hammond's yards in fantastic form. This was his first winner of the year. He's since had 2 bumper winners.
Yeah.
So he's already had 3 winners, and for a small yard, that's a good start to the year. And his horse is clearly in good nick, and I fancy him to follow up that Sedgefield win.
Okay, the 150 at market, 250 at Market Raisin as well. We'll finish. This is a handicap chase, a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.25 miles, and only 5 of them in the lineup here. Big Water has won 2 of his last 3 now. Craig, he arrives in pretty good form. AP McCoy's booked as well. Plenty of positives about the potential favourite here.
Yeah, it looks like a match on paper, Mark, really, doesn't it, between the two horses that won last time out. Chestnut Ben, a course and distance winner, beat Bally Bogie by 6 lengths last time, but he's gone up another £7. I think the handicapper now has him on a mark where it's going to be difficult for him to win races. You know, he's done well recently at the age of 9 and 10, but he needs to take another step forward, and that's unlikely here. So that leaves the door open for Big Water to continue his improvement. He's a younger horse. He's only 7. You know, his last 2 victories have come at Carlisle on a right-handed track, and I think that's the key to the horse now, because at Doncaster, sandwiched in between those victories, he didn't jump anywhere near as fluent as he had done at Carlisle. So return, or keeping to a right-handed track is the key. He's now up another 5 to 129, but he's only 7. There's more improvement to come from him, and he's a horse I like in the North Island Swim, and I'll be surprised if he gets beat here, because Annie Turch hasn't been any sort of form of late. You know, the handicapper is starting to relent with him, and he's now on a mark of 125. Lucky Landon was beaten a long way out in that Just Cameron race at Sedgefield last week, and we've got a horse that is unknown to us making his debut in this country for Mickey Hammond, but doesn't look to be really well-treated start now on 120. So it's an excellent opportunity, really, for Big Water to record his third victory and his last four starts.
OK, Big Water then in the 250. Let's just have a quick summary then, Craig, before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, 145, King of Strings for Mark Walford. In the 215 at Market Raisin, we're going for Josh Cameron to back up his Sedgefield win from last week. And finally, in the 250 at Market Raisin, Big Water will hopefully land a big treble, Mark.
Good stuff. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Greg. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday. You'll be in the studio, won't you?
I will. Thank you.
Good man. There you go. That's the thoughts of Craig Forsyth. He'll be in the studio with Stephen Powell and Chris Pimlott. They'll be live from 1 p.m. on Thursday for the action at Ludlow, Market Raisin and Wincanton in the afternoon. And we'll finish the day with all other action on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.